My grandfather used to tell me a lot about his childhood, growing up without having shoes and having several siblings who died of childhood diseases. But it wasn't until I was 40 or so that he really revealed some of how he got out of that poverty. When he was a teenager, he joined the ranks of some of his friends to become a driver for this moonshine business that was pervasive, and so many people got involved, and the demand seemed insatiable. And so the unscrupulous, the powerful, the big wheels moved in when they saw there were millions to be made.
What is the wettest section in the USA? The place where, during Prohibition and since, the most illicit liquor has been made? The extreme wet spot, per number of people, isn't in New York or Chicago. By the undisputed evidence given at a recent trial in the United States Court at Roanoke, Virginia, the spot that fairly dripped illicit liquor and kept right on dripping it after Prohibition ended is in the mountain country of southwestern Virginia, in Franklin County, Virginia. Sherwood Anderson, City Gangs Enslave Moonshine Mountaineers, 1935.
I'm Charlie Thompson. I teach at Duke University. I'm also the author of Spirits of Just Men. It's a story about the community my grandparents come from, Endicott, Virginia, and a series of federal trials that indicted some of the most powerful people in the community.
My name is Kenny Rohr. My dad was a native of Franklin County, and my dad said that everybody he knew made whiskey except the local Baptist preacher who made barrels.
All right, step on.
But Dad's uncles were both musicians, a guy named Posey Rohr, he was an old-time fiddler, and Charlie Poole, who was a banjo picker. The two of them used to work for a big-time moonshiner. Posey Rohr and Charlie Poole would sit around the still, and they would hone their musical skills while they were producing a sellable product there in Franklin County.
In the eastern part of the county is Piedmont, and the farmland is rolling. As you get further west, the hollers get more narrow, and the farmland very marginal. My grandmother used to joke that the fields were so steep that you'd have to tie yourself into the field up there, because if you didn't, you'd fall out.
The 18th Amendment went into effect at 12:01 a.m. on July 16, 1920. Whatever it was the American people expected to get out of this noble experiment, I'm not sure. But bootleggers, moonshiners, triggermen, and lawless corruption is what they got.
It was evident that something new had sprung up in the mountains. Big business, mass production, introduced by a few shrewd, determined men, the plan being to make the little fellows work at a dangerous occupation, prisons staring at them for little more than a day's wage.
These farmers were coerced into producing for a racket that skimmed off most of the profits for themselves. They required that every person who was running a still pay them $25 for every batch made. One or two men at the top, Sheriff Pete Hodges and allegedly Commonwealth Attorney Carter Lee. Carter Lee is the grandnephew of Robert E. Lee.
The decisive vote of the 36th state against Prohibition is happy news for the grain raisers of the United States and for many others throughout the land. Uh-oh! There'll be no more scenes such as this. Barrel after barrel of prize whiskeys destroyed by government agents. It's going to be a cold winter for the barrel busters.
So all of those anti-liquor agents who had been out trying to eradicate liquor, to close down the speakeasies and so forth, had to shift and begin to show the American people that we mean business here. We want everybody who's making liquor to start paying these taxes.
Five officials are made defendants on state conspiracy charge. State attorney included in list.
So the prosecutors subpoena in excess of 200 people. They're having to state what they did and how much they sold and who was there so on.
To whom did he send the money?
Mr. Carter Lee.
Time after time, the same names, Pete Hodges and Carter Lee, were mentioned.
He told me that if I would pay Carter Lee a small amount, he could keep the Rocky Mount Law off me.
And it would be repeated again and again.
Did you ever see Mr. Lee?
Yes, sir.
The strategy of the 9 lawyers that Carter Lee had hired was to take apart the testimony of the main witnesses and to take apart the character of those people.
The very dregs of the underworld have been combed, and prison camps, jails, penitentiaries, and insane asylums have been combed so that they could bring here thieves, rogues, and even murderers to parade across the witness stand.
The outcome of the trial is that Sheriff Pete Hodges and dozens of others were convicted. Carter Lee isn't even given a warning.
Well, my uncle's take was that Carter Lee was guilty of sin. He had certainly mistreated those moonshiners in charging them extortion fees. But he was not surprised when Carter Lee got off, you know, that he had political clout and influence, and of course he was a Lee.
These were people who worked very hard, who cared about their neighbors, who worked together, people who had to scrape and figured out through their own ingenuity how they could get out of poverty without the federal government's help. My grandfather didn't want to become a NASCAR driver. He didn't want to become a gangster. He just wanted to be a farmer. And he did become that, but only because the cash income that came in from whiskey production.